I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
They want chase scenes and car crashes.
They want the cops to bend the rules to get the job done. They want the boy to get the girl. They want the good guy to win. They want the bad guy to die, hopefully in the biggest explosion the budget will allow. But most importantly, Senator, they want to walk into a theater and for 90 minutes forget the fucking mess that you have left of this nation.
Go get your bubble gum.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome back to the All Out of Bubblegum podcast. Today, me, Marty, I'm joined by Brandon and Alberto. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Hello, what's going on?
I'm excited to talk about these two movies today.
Oh, yeah.
It's February, which means, I think, Black History Month in America.
Yep.
Which means we will be devoting some time to blaxploitation movies.
You mean you don't have Black History Month in the Netherlands over there?
No, we don't.
Okay.
No. There is talks of getting a national holiday called Keti-Koti, which is the celebration of the ending of slavery.
Oh, okay.
That's one day, though, I think. As far as I know, we don't have an entire month for Black History.
Okay, well, it checks out. I mean, you never really had any African colonies or anything like that, right?
Not African, but we had some Caribbean and I don't even know how to say it in English. Suriname?
Oh, Suriname, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're way off track now.
Yeah. So we do have black people.
Okay.
Not racist.
Okay.
We do have black people. No, but it is a great excuse for us to delve into some blaxploitation movies. And today we are going to be looking at two movies starring Jim Kelly, namely 1974's Black Belt Jones and Black Samurai from 1976. I had never seen these before.
Oh, me neither. And they impressed me for the most part. I mean, Jim Kelly, maybe a better actor, more charismatic talent than Bruce Lee, his Enter the Dragon co-star. That's probably a bold statement to make.
Very bold.
But right now, I'm on the Jim Kelly train.
Oh. And it's also very obvious looking, especially at Black Belt Jones, that Bruce Lee was a huge influence on Jim Kelly.
Oh, yeah. They both have the same style of, like, fighting choreography where, like, the protagonist never gets hit and he just, like, beats the shit out of everybody else while taking no damage. And of course, people just wait around and just kind of, like, wait for the next move so you can kick them in the balls or whatever, you know, rip their nutsack off, just waiting for the next choreographic move. But it's all right. I mean, it works.
Yeah, Jim Kelly definitely, he tries to look like Bruce Lee. With his posing and the sounds he makes even when he kicks and hits people, the flexing, it's very Bruce Lee inspired.
Oh yeah, and he's got the nunchucks in one scene in Black Samurai where he's waving them around. I'm like, hey, it's Bruce Lee, except he has an afro. But yeah, it works.
Yeah. Alberto, how about you? Had you ever seen these before?
Nope, never seen them. I mean, I've heard of them, but I think this is like the first time watches. Seeing these.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'd seen Enter the Dragon that he's in.
Yeah.
But other than that, nothing.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, same. Right.
I mean, we should have had Stein on. He was a last-minute cancellation, unfortunately. But I think Kelly did some movies with Fred Williamson.
Yeah. Did they do, like, Three the Hard Way?
Oh, wait, yeah. I saw, what was it called? It was called the One Down, Two to Go, or something like that. Yeah,
okay.
I saw that. Yeah. I guess I just really wanted to forget about it because it was, at least the because it looked really bad. The copy I watched was like It was like VHS quality,
mm-hmm.
And Jim Kelly's not like in the whole movie.
It happens.
Gets put out of commission halfway through, but which I mean, kind of false advertising. Although I don't know, maybe the title was like, oh yeah, one down, two to go.
Is he the one down?
I guess he is. I mean, Fred Williamson, yeah. And like,
I mean, it's right there in the title. What were you expecting?
Yeah. That's the worst title of all time. Like, you want to see this great actor? Well, he's down for the entire damn movie. It's like, oh man, nobody's gonna want to watch that movie.
Yeah, and he's also in Free the Hard Way and Take a Hard Ride. Ride,
mm-hmm.
Not right, ride. Also with Fred Williamson. So Stein is greatly missed.
Yes.
Yes.
But maybe someday Jim Kelly will get a page on AOBG. You know, maybe he'll get the honorary page going on or something like that, and we'll be able to induct him into the Hall of Fame. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, he's only got like a handful of films, so.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Like 12 or something like that.
15 credits.
Okay.
According to IMDb. Wikipedia has a few more, but I think they're confusing him with a different Jim Kelly.
The Irish actor Jim Kelly.
No, he's listed for Necessary Roughness, but there's a Jim Kelly who was in the NFL. And it's probably him making a cameo in the American football movie.
Oh, man. And I always trusted Wikipedia. How could they lie to me like that?
It's a bad day when Wikipedia is less accurate than IMDb.
Ooh, harsh. Harsh but fair.
Yeah, I also watched the Highway to Heaven episode that he's supposedly in this morning, but I didn't spot him.
Okay.
So maybe that's a different Jim Kelly as well? Or maybe he's just like in the background somewhere? I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, was it any good, though?
No. Not
really. Oof.
Well, fair enough.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to start with Black Belt Jones. Yeah. I watched them in the other order. I started with Black Samurai, and then I watched Black Belt Jones, which I think was maybe the wrong decision.
Perhaps. I mean, it's not chronological, and Black Belt Jones is the better film, but I don't think it matters too much.
Yeah, you start off strong.
Yeah.
Then you end with Al Adamson.
Black Samurai is maybe one of the goofiest movies I have ever seen, and it was so weird to get into the tone of Black Belt Jones because I was like expecting it to just get just as goofy as that as Black Samurai.
Yeah. But Black Belt Jones, I think it's a really solid martial arts film that is also blaxploitation at the same time. It's Jim Kelly being more charismatic than Bruce Lee, in my opinion. The plot is terrible. I mean, it's something about saving a community center. No, it's about like saving this karate school. But there's so much other bullshit that you totally forget about, like, totally forget about the main plot. And it's just Jim Kelly beating the shit out of people, throwing them through windows in slow motion. And it's actually very entertaining, despite having this plot that I couldn't care less about.
I mean, you've already alluded to the greatest scene in the whole movie, where everybody's just flying through windows in slow motion.
Yeah, the scene where he's, like, on the train, just, like, whooping everyone's ass.
Yeah.
That's good stuff right there. And it's got Scatman Crothers, his Pop Bird in it. You know, the guy from The Shining, who just takes an axe to the belly. But he's in this. He's really charismatic, even though he doesn't really do much. He just kind of, like, smokes his cigarette, runs a karate school, dies by being punched in the face once or twice. But hey, Scatman Crothers makes an impression.
Yeah, plus, is it a hairpiece that he's wearing? Or is that, like, actually his hair?
Oh, I didn't think about that. I did not think about that.
Usually he's bald.
Yeah.
Oh.
Could be. I'm not sure. We need to look at the internet movie hairpiece database or something like that, because I have no clue.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, now that I'm looking at it, doesn't look entirely real.
Oh, poor guy.
But hey, fooled me while the movie was going.
Same here. I believed it. I believed every second of that hair.
Yeah, very convincing portrayal.
Give it an Oscar. I mean, you can convince me that Scatman Crothers has hair. You did a good job. Best hair and makeup. Let's give it to Black Belt Jones, everybody.
Yeah. Robert Klaus, yet again, he keeps winning. And then he does Game of Death, instantly loses all credibility.
Yeah, this is director Robert Klaus's follow-up to Enter the Dragon, even.
Yeah, it is. I mean, hey, he was riding off a high. And I don't know, maybe it's to make up for the fact that he unceremoniously... Well, I don't know if it was unceremonious, but... Like, the way Jim Kelly gets taken out was kind of, like, a bit, his character in, like, Enter the Dragon just gets, like, his ass whooped, and then next scene, he's dead.
Yeah, so this is him repenting, and it works well.
Yeah, and it'd work again on his next movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because he did Golden Needles right after this one.
Yeah, Joe Don Baker.
Yeah.
Ooh, I've not seen that one.
Me neither.
But anyway, Black Belt Jones, did you guys enjoy the Suds fight in the car wash of all places that goes on for like 20 damn minutes? Or was that a little too goofy for you? I liked it, but I can understand some people saying that's a little tonally off for a Jim Kelly movie of him fighting amidst all this soap and suds, and the female sidekick is kind of tossing people into a bag of a trash compacting garbage truck, you know. But what do you guys think of it?
I thought it was really good. I honestly thought that they were murdering the goons by throwing them in there. I thought they were getting crushed to death, but then the ending's like, you hear them like, hey!
Yeah, I'm not sure how trash compacting garbage trucks work exactly. I'm not an expert on that subject, but I mean, Steve McQueen survived being in one in The Getaway, so maybe? I don't know. But the guy does get his leg crushed at one point, though. But, which is interesting to note, because does Jimmy Kelly kill anybody in this film? I don't think he kills anybody in this movie. He beats up like 25 million, but I don't think he kills anybody.
I think only 3 people die in this movie, period.
Yeah, there's the agent who gets strangled, right?
Yeah.
Then there's the
Scatman
Crothers, who gets punched once or twice and dies. That doesn't somebody get electrocuted?
Yeah, there's like a guy on the like telephone pole when they're like ambushing Jim Kelly.
Yeah, those might be the only deaths in the film. But despite the low body count, you don't really notice because there's so much action. It just comes out of nowhere. And it's really fun.
Oh, yeah. Jim Kelly's always ready to fight, even when he's waiting for the elevator. Oh, I love that part.
Yeah.
Yo, everybody, we're going to McDonald's. Yeah. Sorry. I was just like, I had no idea like McDonald's was this much of a delicacy back in the day.
That's what I thought too. I mean, like, do they not have that many McDonald's yet? Is this like still considered like a novelty at this point? Or what would be the today's equivalent? Like, we're going to Long John Silver's. I don't even know what the equivalent of today's would be.
We're going to In-N-Out Burger, everybody.
Oh, that's it. That's a pretty fun moment.
I wouldn't consider that a nice thing to do, take me to dinner at McDonald's.
Fair enough. It's like he's punishing you. It's like you fought very poorly today. We're going to McDonald's. No.
I just love how everyone's so enthusiastic about that. They're just like, yeah. McDonald's.
Well, to be fair, they're mostly kids.
Yeah, fair enough. When you're a kid, you love the fast food. And when you're my age, you still love the fast food. But we're not talking about that right now.
Now let's go back to the start. Let's talk about the plot.
Okay.
Because as you said, in the beginning, we see an agent get killed on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some bad guys who keep some money in a wine vat.
Yeah, I believe it's the mob.
Yeah, it's got to be the mafia.
The Italian mafia.
Yeah, because
who say stuff
big
like
tuna.
Mamma mia. That's literally a line from this movie. Mamma mia. They stole my money. It's like, what the hell?
Don't call me the Don.
Is this like Super Mario Brothers? I don't even know what's going on anymore. But it adds to the charm of the film.
Yeah, like the big boss is just like, don't call me the Don, just call me the boss.
No, we're calling you the Don because you're clearly meant to be a Don character.
Yeah, and his main goon, the Big Tuna, he's clearly dubbed.
Yeah, he is. I noticed that. I was like, wait, is he dubbed?
I imagine like a movie of this budget and this time, everybody must have been dubbed maybe. But that guy, he sticks out like a sore thumb. I'm so curious to know what he sounded like originally.
No, oh, he probably sounded like Tor Johnson on Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Very intimidating.
Yeah, I was like, what is this guy even saying? But yeah, so they have to infiltrate like this winery. The federal agents are doing this to get some like compromising photos of politicians or something like that. And then we forget about that for the next half an hour, and we get to this.
It's also weird, because Jim Kelly, he gets asked to do this job, but he rejects the job, and then he go visits his old dojo, and he runs into the mob, and he gets into the job, like, on his own that way, somehow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Because he needs to get raise the money for the dojo to be saved, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
Catman Crothers is a gambler, and he owes a debt to the local mob.
Yeah, the black mob.
Pinky.
Yes. Who owns a pool hall.
Yeah. It's not a great plot. It's pretty awful, actually, but as an excuse for action, I think it holds up well enough.
Oh, yeah. Don't need much.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes no sense to introduce, like, this whole thing about getting inside the winery to get these compromising photos of politicians, and then Jim Kelly's just like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Okay, well, the plot continues with the dojo plot. We get introduced to all these characters. Then Jim Kelly returns, and we see him, like, at a trampoline park on the beach with, like, all these white women jumping up on trampolines. And it's just kind of, at first I was kind of like, where is this all going? This is kind of weird.
Yeah,
but it turned out to be fine in the end.
Yeah, there was, like, some, like, Marxist Black Panther types. I was like, where are they going with this?
Yeah.
And
I was too. Yeah.
Yeah, it died on the vine.
Yeah, that was weird. Well, I guess he had to introduce the Pinky character somehow as an intimidating person, so he kind of had him bullying some commie punks that showed up. So maybe it worked, but I thought it was going to lead somewhere, and it didn't. But it served its purpose, I guess. Misleading a little, but served its purpose.
Yeah, this movie's all about whooping ass, not about discussing the socio-political climate of the 70s.
Yes. And on that front, it does remarkably well. I mean, like, every time somebody gets punched or hit or something, it's like a gunshot sound effect. Or, like, somebody slapping, like, a tuna fish that's dead or something like that. Just like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Plenty of fun.
The tuna fish has been put back in his can.
Yeah. Maybe the tuna fish is not the right word I'm looking for. Maybe a salmon. I need to slap a fish someday and see what it sounds like.
That sounds like a disgusting euphemism.
Yeah, I've never slapped my fish before. That's Satanism.
Yeah, and I like that the bad guys think it's a good idea to rob a karate school.
Well, it's in session at first. Yeah,
they're pretty stupid.
Great planning.
They're pretty dim-witted.
Yeah, and they get their asses handed to them, of course. But it's a good fight, so the audience doesn't mind. For the most part. And then they come back at night again. And they just decided to fire a gun for some reason. And somebody's like, you hit me! So some guy got nicked, apparently, by a gunshot. One of their own men, yeah.
Jim Kelly and his friend are waiting for them. So they turn off the light and Jim Kelly starts beating up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then one guy just pulls out a gun and starts shooting. In the dark.
Yeah, it's not a great plan, people. Not a great plan.
Jim Kelly says, like, right as he's about to attack, I'm Batman.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, he should have been Batman.
Yep.
Afro Batman.
That would have been great. I mean, there's so many different incarnations of Batman he can do. So why not do a kung fu fighting African American Batman? Everybody will love it. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people will.
We for sure will.
Yeah, we will. We'll appreciate it. It's like, why hire George Clooney? We can hire Jim Kelly.
Well, you can't because he's dead, but...
Okay, well, you know what I mean. When did Jim Kelly die again? Oh, my goodness.
Man.
2013.
Oh, okay. Well, he would have been alive for George Clooney's Batman.
Yeah, lucky him.
Yeah, lucky him. I just want to live long enough to see Batman and Robin. It's my goal in life.
Yeah, at least they didn't put him in the Flash.
No.
God. Just a CGI Jim Kelly as Batman. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Grim.
Don't make me think about that. But there's, they do come back with some people that are called, like, the Bogarts or whatever for, like, a third fight at the Kung Fu training.
Karate school.
Karate school. Whatever. Yeah, that's it. So they come back for a third fight at the karate school. This time they have these thugs that they call the Bogarts because they're some tough sons of bitches, right? And they just get wailed on, the karate school students. One guy gets thrown into like a water cooler and the glass water tank just shatters all over the place. It's a good fight.
Oh, and there's one guy who he's fighting the fat guy, and the fat guy just keeps bumping him with his belly.
Yeah.
That's good stuff right there.
And the guy's just bouncing against the wall and back into the belly and back into the wall and the belly.
That's how I'd fight. But anyway.
There's some good moments of goofiness in this one.
Oh, yeah. It leans towards being a comedy. It's not a full-on, full-blast comedy like Tommy Boy or UHF or something like that, but it's pretty funny when it wants to be.
Yeah.
And then that same fight, doesn't somebody, like, get thrown on a trampoline and, like, get thrown through, like, the roof or something like that? Well, not all the way through the roof, but their head gets
stuck in
the
ceiling.
Yeah,
the guy's screaming.
Yeah, like, help me! That's a nice moment right there. That's using your resources as a fight choreographer. We have a trampoline, we have a ceiling. Let's combine them. And they did.
Yeah. Now, was this also where Quincy got abducted?
I believe so.
Was that later?
Oh, I can't remember. That might have been when Quincy got abducted. But I can't remember for sure, even though I just watched this film yesterday. It's not the most memorable part. Quincy, sorry, Quincy, but this is the Jim Kelly show.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, brother.
Quincy is one of the kids at the school.
Yeah.
Who we should mention, like, when Scatman Crothers dies, it gets revealed that there's a Sydney who has inherited the school.
Yeah. And she can kick ass later, as well.
Yeah, we get a surprise reveal that she's a woman and she can kick ass.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of dug.
Yeah, I mean, Niles felt like something that people would criticize for nowadays. Like, oh man, Jim Kelly getting saved by a woman. This is woke bullshit. But it works for the film. I mean, it's ahead of its time and it works.
Yeah,
Jim Kelly is definitely still the biggest badass in the movie, though.
That is true. That is true, yes. He doesn't let anybody totally outshine him, but... You know, even his female companion gets to whoop some ass, which is good.
Yeah, and everybody's immediately in love with her.
Yeah.
Especially Quincy.
Yeah. And then right after that, she goes to, I guess like the female sidekick, goes to like Pinky, the gangster's hideout. And she just starts whooping people's asses right there. Doesn't she drop like some like homophobic slur or something like that, like the F slur or something, and then just starts wailing on people?
Yeah.
I noticed that a lot in these two films.
Yes.
Jim Kelly casually dropping the F slur.
Yeah. It's not his highest moment, but it was the 70s, man. They're all on drugs. So it fits.
Yeah, the movie seems kind of progressive until... A later scene when she, the Sydney character played by Gloria Hendry, are both on the beach and they're sort of flirting, but she's keeping him at a distance. And then she makes like a flirty remark and he doesn't really respond. And then she says something like, "Why, are you a faggot? You don't want this?" Like, whoa, that's... What, you're calling him a faggot because he doesn't rape you? What the fuck is going on?
It's ridiculous. That whole scene was just like, is this rape? Is this not rape? I don't even know what's going on anymore. They interrupt some naked people's like tent party, and I don't know. I was getting Goldfinger flashbacks or something like that. I don't know.
There's also a completely innocent dude just chilling, playing guitar on the beach.
Yeah.
And they take his guitar and smash it.
But the guy's tunes were pretty shitty, so he deserved it.
But that scene is for sure the birth of a racist.
Yeah. The way he looks at the end of that part. He's like,
why are you like, racist, Tommy? Well, black people always come around stealing my guitar, smashing it. That sounds true. Very hypothetical. No, it happens, I swear.
Oddly specific, Tommy.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of guitars, this movie has a bitchin' soundtrack at times, especially the main title music.
Oh, yeah, give me the 70s funk.
Yeah, it plays over this, like, fight scene as Jim Kelly just beat up these random thugs in a parking lot. And he's throwing people through windows and repeatedly stomping on their gonads. He shoots a guy in the ball sack at one point. And it's just Jim Kelly at his finest with really cool music playing. Really gets the movie off started right.
I think the amount of dick punches in this is actually kind of low compared to Black Samurai.
Oh, yeah. Well, Black Samurai, yeah. That movie is anti-crotch.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember at which point they actually go into the winery to steal the money and the photos. Like, was this before or after Quincy got abducted?
You're asking the wrong person. He does use his team of white female gymnasts to break into the winery.
You are nice. Putting it very, very nicely. I would have said the very young white girls that he invites over on his trampoline.
That too. So they spray some like foam on like the alarm bell, and they jump around on trampolines and put. They do the classic trick. This is may have been the origin of it. We don't know. Where he puts the photograph in front of the security camera that makes it look like a still image. They do that.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know how many times that's been done before.
Yeah, they did the Den of Thieves 2 method.
Oh, they do that in Den of Thieves 2? I have not seen that film yet.
Yeah, no spoilers, but they do that. Oh, I was like, Den of Thieves 2!
Might as well not watch a movie anymore now.
ruined it.
I know it's mostly from Mission Impossible 3.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do it in that one as well. It's a classic
They're all ripping off Black Belt Jones.
Black Belt Jones.
With his female gymnasts. So they sneak into the winery stealthily while also beating up some people. They steal some money in the compromising photos of the politicians or whoever they are. But then they have to fight some people. And that's all we hear about that subplot, which I thought was going to be the main plot, but it's not.
No. No, because they do this because they've devised a plan. So they steal the Italian mob's money. Mm-hmm. And they want to use this to pay off the local black mob. Mm-hmm. So that the local black mob is going to pay the Italian mob with their own money.
Yeah.
And get shit for it or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the worst idea for a movie, but it's about the action, really. It's just an excuse to have people get punched and their gonads crushed. Yeah. It's fine, I guess.
It's like
the plan also only works for like 2 minutes. So
yeah.
In a lot of ways, it's like a porno. You're just waiting for the action.
Yeah. Very appropriate. Yes. Yeah. Considering the music, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, you look at some scenes, you think, what am I about to watch? Especially the next film is even more.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that classic 70s funk guitar that you expect from, like, a porno parody or whatever. Like, it's now time to make fun of porn, so let's bring out the whatever it's called, funky guitar, whatever. I don't know. I'm not a music expert.
Here is Black Dick Jones.
Black Dick Jones. That's the porn parody, right?
Yeah. So this plan doesn't work, and now the local mob and the Italian mob work together and come after them. So we get that great fight in the train yard, in the train, where he's just punching people through windows. And the shot just before that, before he goes into the train, is amazing. When he's just kicks the guy, and in slow motion, we see him fly backwards through the window.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Highlight.
That was one of the most memorable parts of the movie. Well, I can say that about like every fight scene, but
yeah,
I don't know, that was pretty cool.
Yes, and from there Jesus Christ, why is my memory so shit? They end up in like the parking lot for all the garbage trucks,
mm-hmm.
where the garbage trucks go to stay overnight and where they get washed.
Where they live, yes.
Yeah, and they Jim Kelly fucks up the car wash. And now all it does is produce bubbles. Bubbles.
So manly.
Fucking bubbles!
Exactly. But it works pretty well, because there's this fight scene that just goes on and on and on. It's just him beating people all over like this soapy garbage truck car wash place, using all sorts of props, and they're throwing people in the back of the garbage truck. Nobody's really slip-sliding that much, mainly because Jim Kelly is a badass, so he doesn't have time to slip and slide. But it's one of the highlights of the movie.
Yes. And it's a great visual, having a fight scene in like knee-high bubbles.
Oh, yeah. I wish they would play with it a little more, like people sneaking through the bubbles and then popping up right in front of Jim Kelly, and he just grabs their nutsack and rips it off or something like that.
Well, God.
He's Sonny Chiba. That's Sonny Chiba's territory. We don't wanna like trespass on Sonny Chiba's territory. He'll come for us.
Black Belt Jones starring Sonny Chiba. Rated NC-17.
Oh, yes. That'd be something else.
That would. Just trying to imagine it.
Somehow even more dick violence. Oh, man.
I would also like to mention the... Because before they go on the winery heist, let's call it that, there's a bit of a montage where they practice.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is how you use a camera.
Yeah.
That part was a little weird, but other than that, yeah, it's a pretty good montage, I'd say.
Oh, it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
This movie does everything right.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, the plot is god-awful at times, but when it comes to the action and just that 70s coolness and Jim Kelly, there's a lot to like here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's no masterpiece, but it's definitely a chalk above some of the other stuff from that genre around the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely probably one of the better blaxploitation films I've seen. Not that I've seen that many to begin with.
Yeah, but, yeah.
I mean, it's better than Shaft.
Oh.
Oh. Yet another victim of Criterion Collection installments that Brandon doesn't like.
Ugh. Criterion Collection, those elitists. Always picking their slow cinema instead of Commando. Why can't Commando be in the Criterion Collection?
Hey, they got Why Eastern, not? Eastern Condors is in there.
Oh, that's right. Okay. All is forgiven now.
Is a Black Samurai in there?
No.
Definitely not. They're not wasting their time on Black Samurai. Yet. Maybe someday.
Severin gave it some love.
Ooh.
Just a trailer on the disc.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's part of a box set, so I mean, you can't really complain. Plus, it's like remastered.
Okay. Because the version I watched on YouTube, are we moving on to Black Samurai yet, or are we still on Black Belt Jones?
I mean, we kind of exhausted. Have we? I mean, what else is there to say about Black Belt Jones?
Well, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah. It's good, but has a shitty plot. Good stuff, but you won't care about what's going on when people aren't getting their nuts ripped off.
I don't think anything like that happens, but I mean, definitely a lot of ass whooping. Would recommend if you just want an easy, you know, fun, you know, kung fu badass watch, you know. It's got it all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fair to say.
Well not everything. Nobody gets their nuts ripped off. But
somebody might have their nuts shot off. We don't know for sure. The guy in the opening scene who Jim Kelly shoots in the gonads.
Oh yeah. I almost forgot. Yeah, that guy, he gets I think he was just shot in the ass.
But that's possible.
Yeah,
unless he had a big dangler.
Yeah, he had a big dangler. It remains to be known.
We don't know. We don't know. We'll know in the porn parody.
The mystery of the dog. Yeah, in the porn parody.
But yeah, Black Belt Jones, everybody. Watch it.
Yeah, check it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Black Samurai. This is also Jim Kelly.
It's from
1976.
You can tell we really want to talk about this one.
Oh, it's not bad.
Black
Belt Jones had a lot of dick punches. You ain't seen nothing yet.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Yes, that is true.
This movie's obsessed with dick punches.
Unhealthily. It's just like, what do you have against cocks?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah, I don't know what Al Adamson was on about, but
Well, the plot is that there's some satano voodoo worshiper guy named, what was his name? It was like this, not the what was his name? The warlock. Oh, that's it.
Jennycutt.
Yeah, he's like running this like drug smuggling hooker business, and he worships Satan or whatever. So they call in Jim Kelly to come save the day and rescue his girlfriend, right? That's the plot. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, because his girlfriend is the daughter of a, what was it, governor?
Like governor of Hong Kong or something like that.
Somebody, yeah.
Something like that. I didn't really catch that part, to be honest. It's probably not the most important detail, but yeah, it's something like that. Like the governor of Hong Kong or... I don't know. But she gets kidnapped by these satano prostitution-running, drug-running, voodoo priest people. And Jim Kelly is playing tennis, and he's like, I don't want to do this, but now that my girl's been kidnapped, I will do this. So he goes. It's a pretty straightforward plot. He just kind of infiltrates their lair like he's James Bond or something with his invitation, of course, and action unfolds from there.
It's kind of like a black James Bond, you know? I mean, they could have continued this.
Yeah. Black Samurai 2, Black Ninja, or something like that. I don't know. I mean, yeah. It's interesting because even though he's a black samurai, it takes place almost entirely in the United States and Hong Kong. I don't think there's any really Japan sequences in this film, is there?
It looks like they shot it in, like, California.
Yeah.
The whole movie.
And I'm willing to bet that the Hong Kong scenes are stock footage.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
All right, this is an Al Adamson production, okay? You're not going to get, you know, locales.
Well, okay, fair enough.
So you had this one in a Al Adamson, is it DVD box set?
It was a Blu-ray box set.
Oh, Blu-ray even.
Ooh, fancy.
Because I had never heard of this man before.
Yeah, he's... How would I... He was kind of like this, like, prolific sort of director of, like, B-grade horror films and exploitation films throughout the 60s okay. and 70s. And he retired in the 80s, pursued real estate. And the last years of his life are pretty grim. His wife dies from cancer. And in 1995, he gets murdered by his live-in contractor, who he'd hired to work on his house, and whom buried him beneath the floor in his bathroom. Like, very grim.
What? He gets buried under a bathroom?
His bathroom, to be exact.
His own bathroom.
So the dude poetic murders justice. Him and then finishes the bathroom.
I guess.
That's something.
He's a good contractor.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta make it look like, hey, you know, I did my job.
Okay, it's a 4 out of 5 on Yelp, okay? Yeah. It's not like 1 star. He finished the job. Sure, there's a dead body in there of the world's most famous director, but it happens to the best of us.
Yep. And apparently he shot a lot of films on Spahn Ranch, where Marilyn, the Manson family... had adopted as their home.
Oh. Did he like the Mansons, or was it just kind of like, oh, it's going to be creepy?
I remember reading a story where, I guess, like, the stunt coordinator for one of his films recreated the scene from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where Brad Pitt beats the shit out of the guy on the ranch. Like, I think the same exact thing happened. He got his tires cut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so let's just say, man, things weren't exactly acrimonious.
Tarantino always ripping off the low-budget filmmaker.
Let's hope he rips off Black Samurai next.
Yeah.
Oh!
Final film.
Black Samurai 2, Samurai Harder.
Yeah, also, the dude's definitely not a samurai.
No. Yeah! No, not at all.
He's just a martial arts expert.
He does karate and he has nunchucks. That's it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to get at with, like, the whole... We never see Japan. We never see anything Japanese. It's just a martial arts expert and we call him Black Samurai. In an amazing opening credit sequence, in all fairness. But still, it's just... It could have been named anything. Well, not anything. I mean, White Samurai would not make any sense, but... you know what I mean.
No, it's one of those titles, you know, it sounds cool, and it has a word black in it, good enough.
Yeah, it's blaxploitation, you gotta do that. At least they didn't try to do, like, a Blackula or whatever, into, like, Blackerai or something like that. People are like, what is this? I have no clue what a Blackerai is.
Looking at Al Adamson's filmography, he wouldn't be above that.
Yeah. Oh. I just realized...
Not saying he's done it, but...
Oh, go ahead.
I'm not saying he has done that, but, like, it's got Psycho, A Go-Go, Blood of Dracula's Castle, Satan's Sadists, Dracula versus Frankenstein, Lash of Lust.
Some truly, truly prestigious films.
Yeah. He's like branching out with this action movie, though. I mean, if he made so many horror movies, he makes this like cult classic kung fu action James Bond blaxploitation film. He's got to be doing something right.
I just realized he also did a follow up with Jim Kelly called the Death Dimension.
Oh, really? Oh,
that's, doesn't that one also star George Lazenby?
It does. Little man from Hong Kong crossover.
Ooh. Hyped. I'm hyped for it now.
Yeah, 2.8 out of 5 stars. From Letterboxd DVD.
Oh. Well, could be worse. But anyway, in Black Samurai, there's a lot of action, some of it totally random, that we never speak of again. Like the car scene where they're shooting at him. He's in his, like, hot rod car, you know, and he presses, like, a button, and then this, like tiny little 22 caliber gun pops out the side and shoots the tire, and they fly off the road and explode into a nuclear fireball. And nobody ever speaks to that ever again. It's just, like, there's a lot of scenes like that. They're just, like, we need action here. We need action. What are we going to do? Oh, we'll just have him beat up a few people and call it good. And they do.
Car chase may be also the only scene that doesn't involve any dick punching.
Yes. I think he even tried to punch the vulture in the dick at one point. I mean, There's a fight scene with Jim Kelly and a vulture. The Satano voodoo dude calls like a vulture, his pet vulture, to attack Jim Kelly during the action climax. And it's probably the most beat up Jim Kelly gets in the whole film. Yeah. And he does kill the vulture, though, which is, I'm sure PETA approves, but it was self-defense.
Yeah, my God. That just, it looked really stupid.
That's putting it generously.
Just punching it in the balls repeatedly.
But the big takeaway for me that I remember, will remember forever, is the henchmen in Black Samurai. There are so many colorful henchmen. Like, there's this guy called Cowboy Lang, who's this, like, little person cowboy with a bullwhip who, like, swings around like Tarzan, and he's got two Zulu warriors as his henchmen. So he's a henchman with henchmen, and he dies by falling on a tree branch. I'm like, where do they come up with this stuff at?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a colorful cast.
Yeah. And there's some other colorful henchmen as well that you're like, I want to know that guy's backstory.
Yeah, they got a guy who looks... Oh, what?
Go ahead.
Yeah, they got a guy who looks like a... like a very flamboyantly gay Keenan Ivory Wayne.
Yeah. I was going to say Damon, but maybe I've got them confused.
There's like 20 of them. And they're not the only little people henchmen in this film. There's like two more that come out of nowhere to fight Jim Kelly. So maybe the director likes that little people stuff. I don't know. But it's fun.
Yeah, and there's also a Mexican Lee Van Cleef.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jim Kelly just paralyzes one henchman deliberately at one point. He doesn't finish him off, which is pretty cruel. He just, like, he's fighting the guy, puts his leg on his back while pulling his arms back, and pushes and throws the guy on the ground. The guy is just, like, shaking and convulsing, and, like, Jim Kelly's just like, "You'll never walk again, sucker," and walks away. Just like, that's so sadistic. Oh, well.
He might as well be dead.
Yeah.
Well, the positive is, if he's paralyzed, he can't feel the dick punches anymore.
They should have just had a scene after that where he's repeatedly punching the guy in the crotch, and he's just like, "I can't feel anything."
Yeah.
So I'll rip it off then. Anyway. And there's this snake chamber that the bad guy uses to kill people. But, like, the door is like a like an iron gate that the snakes could easily crawl through and escape. Yet all the snakes decide to stay in the snake room and just, like, eat people. And then that's how Jim Kelly kills the bad guy at the end. He doesn't straight up kill him directly with, like, a punch to the face or dick or whatever. He throws him in the snake room and locks the door. And all snakes know to not slither out through the gate. They know how to attack the bad guy and eat him. So, good for Jim Kelly.
Yeah, and he drops an F-slur when he throws him in.
Oh, he's, yeah.
He's like, "Get in there, you faggot." Yeah. He's just like, "What the fuck? That's a little unnecessary. I mean, you get to kill him anyway. You don't have to, like, be homophobic all at once.
Yeah, it's wild.
But
it's
also, he locks him in there, but earlier he escaped by burning the lock, melting the lock.
Yeah.
And then he locks the bad guy up in the same room.
Wasn't like, he put like a bar on the door, so he couldn't get out?
Couldn't he just reach through? Because it's not the solid door.
Yeah.
It's bars. The door, bar door. You can just reach out to the other side and remove
the bar.
The bar.
Yeah. I think we're analyzing this film a bit too much, but.
And maybe the snakes were a metaphor for dicks.
That's perfect.
Yeah. He doesn't punch snakes, though, I think. Does he?
Oh, no. He loves the snakes.
Yeah.
But there's a good action climax here that goes on for a while of him running around the Satano voodoo compound, just running around on the roof and on walkways and throwing people around. And even the white guy henchman who's out of shape, he gets in on the action, which is cool. I like that. We get some representation from my community. The out of shape white guys. And that has just a whole another layer of awesomeness to it.
Yeah, I also like that it seems like everybody gets lost in this compound. Because the bad guy runs away and then Jim Kelly goes and fights the other dude for like 5 minutes. And then he catches up to the bad guy. Even though he ran away, but he's still running around in the same compound, apparently.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like this big mansion or something like that. Something like that. Some California Winchester house. I don't even know, but it works. And did we get to the music yet? The music's okay. I mean, it helps propel the movie forward a little bit. It sounds good as the music in Black Bell Jones, but...
No.
There's some moments where I was thinking... This movie would kind of be sucking right now if it wasn't for the music. So the music does do its job.
Yeah, I'll be honest. This movie kind of felt like I was watching a porno, except there wasn't action.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I was like, is Johnny Watt going to show up at some point? Like, what is this?
I guess like the cult ritual part.
Yeah, I was just like, what?
I don't know. I watched the censored version on YouTube, which is like 7 minutes or so shorter, I think, than the normal version or something like that.
Mm.
So there's definitely some cuts. And they lowered the volume at some times to avoid offensive words, but I still got the experience.
Cringe.
Because I think they left pretty much all the violence intact.
Yeah, I watched the same version.
Yeah.
It thankfully mutes the various slurs said throughout the film.
Yes, various slurs. Which is what you want to hear in your movie. No, I'm just kidding. Well, anyway. So, I think the violence is mostly left intact, though, which is good, because that's what we want to see. Nothing too grisly, but, I mean, he does, like, take, like, a hammer or something in some guy's head and leaves a bloody mark or something like that, but...
Yeah, he throws a boulder.
Doesn't he chuck a rock?
He throws a boulder, rock onto a guy in a pool, or was it a pond or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like a giant bit of blood all over.
Yeah. So they left that intact in the version I watched, but can't show boobies. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, can't.
But smashing people's head with a rock, that is kosher.
Yeah, you can't show a man fondling a woman.
In all fairness, all the fondling in this movie did seem non-consensual.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe it was good that it was cut.
Yeah, it's a good... this is like the pleasant cut of the film.
Yeah, this is a version I can take.
Yeah, whereas I got like the full exploitation experience.
Yeah, there's the violence. It's not uncontrollable, but I mean, there's some decent blood squibs when the bodyguards get shot at the beginning. They fall into a pool, like at the very beginning of the film when they kidnap Jim Kelly's girlfriend, and they're wearing white shirts, which is great because that makes the blood show up even more. I was very thankful for that. I'm gonna thank the maker at Thanksgiving for that.
You have to shout because he's under the floor.
Hey, you in the bathroom. Thank you for making him wear white shirts when the people get shot. Makes the blood show up so well.
Yeah, and there's a very obvious nod to James Bond when he actually flies somewhere with a jetpack.
Yeah, was that from Thunderball?
Yeah.
Yeah, the jetpack.
I keep mixing them up. Could be, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the opening scene of Thunderball before the credits roll.
Yeah, it's definitely Thunderball.
But yeah, he flies around in a jetpack, just like observing the scenery. He flies past like a Age of Enlightenment fort at one point, and it's just like, okay, we'll take it. It's nice scenery. Flies around for like 10 hours, and then he's like, okay, my jetpack's out of fuel.
Time to fight Cowboy Lang. He tries to land somewhere first, but then he gets shot at.
Yeah.
they gotta milk their money's worth with the jetpack.
Yeah. You gotta get all the action you can.
It does look fucking great, honestly.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can tell that technology has advanced since Thunderball when James Bond did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is better looking than James Bond, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm genuinely curious how they did this. I think they just had a massive crane with invisible wires or something. I don't know. It looks impressive.
Maybe had some sort of prototype jetpack. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it's possible, right? I mean, didn't they have some of those back in the 70s? Like some like jetpacks that could last for like 2 minutes? I don't know. I really don't know. Hmm. We'll look more into it later and not report on it later.
Yeah.
If you know the answer to this, please join our Discord and inform us more about the jetpacks of the 70s.
Yeah. And then he lands the jetpack in the forest and fights your favorite henchman with his own henchmen.
Yeah.
And then he just goes home and says, mission accomplished.
He's just like, yep.
Job
well done.
He went to the bad guy's compound or something to look for his girlfriend, but then he fights the dude in the forest and then he fucks off again. Like, no, she wasn't there.
She wasn't in the forest.
Yeah.
Time to leave.
You didn't go to end the credits. Fucking compound.
That was the part where I was kind of like, I don't know what's going on anymore. I was kind of zoning out like after the Cowboy Lang fight a little bit. Then I got back into it once the voodoo ceremony and the big final fight broke out. So it's all good.
Yeah, I was kind of zoning out a lot.
Yeah.
When there wasn't any action, I was just kind of like, oh, okay.
That's understandable. This is not as good as Black Belt Jones.
Yeah, Black Belt Jones, I was locked in.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That is one that keeps your attention. This one, there are a few slow spots. It's not a great movie, but it's watchable if you just want to watch Jim Kelly. I mean, if you don't want to watch Jim Kelly and you just want to see people being like, their crotches pummeled, it's a good choice.
Hey, you want to see a guy get cracked in two by Jim Kelly? This is a good movie for that.
Oh, yeah, it's not bad. I mean, to me, it's like a high 6 out of 10. Not like a enthusiastic recommendation, but I mean, it's like a high 6 out of 10. You probably won't regret watching it, but it's probably not a film you're going to deliberately look out for, if that makes sense.
Well, if I can get it in HD and uncut, I'm definitely up for rewatching it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Copy on YouTube isn't the best audio and video wise.
Oh no, it felt like sub VHS quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am bewildered that this was nominated for the top 250 though.
I'm glad it was.
I mean, yeah, hey, it's good, you know, hey, I mean, I just wasn't really, you know.
I wouldn't put it in my top 250 greatest action films.
I was like, well, this is quite a surprise.
Probably not, maybe my top 1,000. If I had to make the top 1,000 action movies of all time, Black Samurai might be on it. But not 250, not 500, probably not 750, maybe 1,000. I don't know.
It's definitely...
But you're still good.
Yeah, it's still good. You know, hey.
It's respectable. In that unrespectable way where the whole film was just people being like smashed in the groin.
Yeah.
It's also kind of funny that both of these films... They try to hire Jim Kelly to solve this case, but like it seems like they already have all the information they need.
Yeah. Just send in like a helicopter full of commandos, but no, we got to get Jim Kelly.
You know who did it. You know where they live. Why do they need Jim Kelly?
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. They both kind of start with Jim Kelly refusing the mission, which is understandable. That's an important part of screenwriting. You got to have like the hero say no to the mission at first, but then he comes around to it and...
He's got to have personal stakes.
Yes, the personal stakes are important because his girlfriend got kidnapped.
Or his karate school got attacked.
Yeah, which is interesting because if I told you those two things, you would think that the one about the girlfriend being kidnapped would be the better movie. than the movie about the karate school about to be demolished.
Yeah, especially the one where he actually gets kills.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, which one do you want to watch? The Jim Kelly film where he doesn't kill anybody, he fights to prevent a karate school from going out of business? Or the one where he, like, kills, like, 25 million people and he's rescuing his girlfriend? Which one do you want to watch? You're going to say the latter. But no, the former is actually better.
You know, sometimes less is more.
Oh, that's true. Not to knock Black Samurai too much, because this movie has some lit henchmen. I mean, every time I saw a henchman walk on screen, I was like, should I know who that guy is? Because he looks like somebody who should be a movie star. Okay, not that far. But like somebody who should be like a henchman regular, kind of like an Al Long type person. That's kind of like the feeling I got from like every henchman in this movie.
Al Long. Yeah, I just put two and two together with that.
Oh, did I not pronounce it right?
No, I was just kind of like, I had like a delay. I was like, Al Leong. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I pronounced it Al Long, which is probably wrong, but whatever. I'm not an expert on names. Or faces or personalities or really anything for that matter.
You are a bit of an expert on dick punching, though. Simply because you've seen these two films.
And a lot of Steven Seagal movies, yes. That is fair
to say. Genuinely curious if that's sort of like a Jim Kelly thing. Like, if you watch more of his movies, do I just see him dick punching people in those as well?
Oh, man. I hope so. Because I like it.
Oh. Yeah, he seems weirdly obsessed with dicks. Punching dicks in Black
Samurai. Yeah, and throwing people at snakes and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
It's never a negative.
Yeah, never a negative. Whenever you can have somebody you can punch in the crotch, it's good. Throw that in, like, the special edition of Casablanca. You know, instead of, like, shooting the Nazi at the end, Humphrey Bogart just, like, rips his crotch off or something like that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's the version we all wanted to see but couldn't, thanks to the production code.
Casablanca starring Sonny Chiba.
Yes. I don't remember exactly, but there might be dick punching in Barbed Wire.
Oh.
You know, the...
Now I want to see that even more now.
The Casablanca remake starring Pamela Anderson.
We're one step closer. One step closer to the Barbed Wire episode.
Yes, we're getting there someday.
Fresh off her Golden Globe win.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So is there anything we've missed in Black Samurai? I'm trying to think. Yeah. The movie's crazy, but we haven't spent that much time on it yet.
Yeah. I mean, there's like I remember the part at near the end where like all the midgets start coming down or whatever. I was like, wait, what?
Yes, that is the appropriate reaction to that. Definitely. If, like, little people are coming after me in a fight scene, is the appropriate reaction?
Yeah, it felt like a dream. I was like, what? Did I fall asleep or something?
You might have, after all that nonsense that doesn't have to do with people being punched in the crotch. But, yeah, I mean, it's understandable to zone out a little in Black Samurai, but when the action comes, you'll be engaged.
There's also a female bad guy, or surprise bad guy, maybe.
Yeah.
Who has a James Bondian-like name, though it's nowhere near as good as something like Pussy Galore or something. Her name is Sin, but it's spelled S-Y-N-N-E.
Ooh. Bold. Is Jim Kelly tempted by Sin?
I think that's the most they do with the name. Just
Your name is Sin. Yeah. Well, hey, it's better than nothing. It's better than just calling her Jill or something like that. Might as well call her Sin. Yeah.
Plenty O'Toole. Those are the real names.
Yeah, those are the real names. Plenty O' Evil. I don't even know. Okay.
Jeez. It's like... Yeah, and as she gets into a tumble with the girlfriend and starts struggling over the knife, and yeah, the girlfriend stabs her with the knife. She's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I just said that in like the most like... I don't know.
I get what you're saying, though, but yeah. So, Black Samurai, watch it for the hench people. If you like hench people like Al Leong, he's not in this movie, but you'll still want to watch it anyway. You like that kind of like, whoa, who is that? What's that guy's story?
Yeah, lots of good henchman content in this film.
Yes.
Also, if you like dick punching, this movie was made for you.
Especially for you. Yes, that's fair to say. And yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's not great, but it's definitely watchable.
Yeah,
it's always fun. Goofy as shit.
Understatement, but yeah.
You were going to say something, Alberto?
No, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just kind of like, I'm not going to lie. I kind of sound a little unenthusiastic about the film, but like, I mean, I thought it was good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got Cowboy Lang in it. I mean,
yeah.
First movie I've seen him in, I think. And I'm like, wow, this guy's going to be a movie star. Wait, no, he's not. Never mind. But yeah.
He died on the vine.
Died on the tree branch, but yeah. Just dropped on a tree branch and dies, but it happens. Sometimes you die that way. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes your head just falls off. I don't know.
Which does not happen in this film, but it definitely should.
Hey, sometimes you get beaten by... Sometimes you get thrown in the room with a bunch of snakes. And you could easily escape, but you don't.
It's a metaphor. This film is full of unseen depths to it. I mean, it's just like, man, how do they come up with this high art? I'm impressed every time.
Yeah, we're not giving Al Adamson his due.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes, the guy got murdered and put underneath his hot tub.
His hot tub, okay. Well, I'm sure there's worse places to be buried.
I'm sure that's what, like, Jim Wynorski wants.
Oh, God.
No, he wants to probably be buried in his hot tub.
It's that trademark Fred Olin Ray sarcasm.
Yeah. Didn't those guys make like a hot tub, like a movie that's just babes in a hot tub? 90 minutes?
Yeah, I think so. It's just going to turn into a discussion about B-movie filmmakers.
Hot tubs, overrated or not?
Tomorrow's topic: hot tubs. Should they be people be buried underneath them?
Yeah. Unless you guys want to add something, I think we can call it a day.
Yeah. Okay.
We really missed Stein's Fred Williamson adjacent expertise.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I know that he also did the review on the website of this film, Black Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's up there. I actually checked it out before we started the episode.
And, okay.
Yeah.
The action movie breakdown.
Yeah, he did that. But yeah, yet again, he has escaped doing an episode with me yet again. His luck will run out soon.
Well, on that note, we're doing another blaxploitation film next week for February.
Yes. We don't know what it is exactly, but we'll do it.
One down, two to go.
Oh, please. It's a good one.
All right. In the meantime, check out the website, alloutofbubblegum.com. Visit the Discord. Join the Discord. Check out the Patreon, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
Batman, motherfucker!